Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Dunzo. This is a podcast that explores hookups and breakups of famous lovers and friends, both real and fake, and all the discarded pop culture of yesteryear. I'm your host, Troy McEady. You guys, welcome to whatever episode this is of Dunzo. It is me, Troy McEady, and I say all the time that the episodes feel very special, but this is like, truly, I have been talking about this since the first episode of this podcast. You guys are sick of hearing me talk about it, I'm sure, in passing. So I'm finally doing the damn thing. And I'm so excited for my guest. I am joined by my friend, Zach. Zach, how are you?
Good. I am just a fan being invited onto the Dunzo podcast. So I know a lot of other Dunzo fans are out there pretty jealous right now. I just snuck my way in. I had to tell them I was Brian Spears at first. I slid into the DMs and said I was Brian Spears.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, I have questions. Well, no, you did not sneak your way in, sir, because I am. So if you guys listened to my mailbag episode, I actually talked about Zach's YouTube channel and how it is my, like, truly, I'm obsessed. Like, now I just let your vlog videos just, like, autoplay. Okay. So, well, it's really just, like, it's insane. But tell people about your YouTube channel.
Well, so, for YouTube, I just do normal vlogs. There's nothing special about them, just vlogs of my life. But I do have a podcast with my buddy Ian. We cover horror movies. And next week, actually, so when is this episode going out? Is this tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, so next week, next Wednesday, Troy is going to be coming on our horror podcast, My Bloody Judy, and he's going to be covering Halloween 5 with me. And so that was really fun. Halloween 5 is not a movie that we needed to talk more than 40 minutes about, but we talked like an hour and a half about it. Yeah. So I'm really excited to put that one out there. And yeah, My Bloody Judy, go check that out if you can.
Yeah, My Bloody Judy is great. It's spooky season. October is going to be here very, very soon. And then obviously I'm going to have you back on here to do a horror podcast or a horror movie with me. But what you guys may or may not know about Zach is that he is a hardcore Britney stan.
Yes.
And I can truly say that, like, I really, from the bottom of my heart, I know that you are a true stan.
Yeah. I think there was just something about, like, I don't know, something about the internet in 2020 or 2021, right, is that we have, like, community being built, you know? I remember growing up, so I was a younger Britney fan, right? Like, Baby One More Time probably came out when I was, oh, my goodness. When was that, 98? So I was, like, 4 or 5 years old.
Okay.
So I grew up, and Britney could, like, do no wrong in my eyes. I never saw anything wrong with her. I didn't see any of the dark stuff until I got older. But growing up, I always noticed that all my friends, like, hated Britney Spears and nobody ever wanted to talk about Britney Spears and stuff like that. And so now we have podcasts like the wonderful Dunzo where, you know, it feels like community here. And, like, I've like found my people. So I'm, like, so stoked to be here to talk about Britney Spears. There's nowhere else I could have come to talk about Britney Spears. Like, I guess I could have rambled about her for an hour on my YouTube channel. People, what the fuck are you doing?
No, Zach and I DM about Britney at basically all day and all night, and he has truly proven himself to be a true stan. And I have to ask you, like, so we're talking today, I haven't even said it, we are talking today about the documentary Stages. And I've talked about, oh my god, every time somebody asks, like, what Britney documentaries do you recommend, which ones, like, where do I find them, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, look no further than Stages on YouTube, because I can almost guarantee you've never seen it.
Yes, I used to have this I had the DVD, and it's all, like, all scratched up now, so I cannot watch it. I have to watch it on YouTube. But I used to, like, play it in the background while I would play The Sims, and I would, like, give my Sims, like, I would, like, send my Sims out on tour based on this DVD. So I would create hotels and like different venues that I would just shift my little Sims around to. And I was like, I was fucking obsessed with this documentary. I've probably watched this more than I've watched For the Record. I love it. I absolutely love it.
I mean, I would venture to say that this is the best Britney documentary. I would say For the Record is a real close. Oh, I guess it's like, it would be different reasons, I guess, what you're looking for. But yeah. This to me is just like the holy trinity. This is like, nothing beats this. This is the most candid look into Britney's life. I think, you know, even For the Record, you know, that was released on like a major scale. Mm-hmm. Like it was huge. It was released on MTV. It was like the most watched thing on MTV at the time. It like broke a record. This is so candid that her team basically tried to bury it.
Yes. So For the Record is very like glossy, right? It's like a glossy, like Billboard type of documentary. And that's the one that people always talk about when they like bring her up or like make a little YouTube video about her or something like that. Like hardly anybody ever talks about stages. Mm-hmm. And you sent me an article like an hour before we started recording. Right. Was it a Vanity Fair article?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. All about kind of like the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And I had no idea like some of this stuff, and it makes so much sense because when we say that like For the Record is this glossy, like really, I mean, it's up to everybody's interpretation, but like well-made documentary, like Stages, it's like kind of a hodgepodge documentary that feels unfinished. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of like fade-ins, fade-outs, and like random endings to scenes, and it like makes so much sense now after reading this little article that you sent me.
Yeah, so Stages was directed by a woman named Judy Hoffman, and she brought in a man that you guys may have heard of named Albert Maysles, who was the cinematographer for Grey Gardens.
Yeah, he was like the co-director for Grey Gardens. It was him and his friend like sitting out at the Beals house,
right?
Fucking Grey Gardens, listening to their hollering and hooting all day. and then when you told me that, I was in the middle of watching it, and I could fucking see him like during their prayer circle and stuff like that. This old man with a camera up in Britney's face.
Yes, it's crazy. And like Zach said, it gives you this like. It gives this, it makes everything basically make sense. It's like, oh, like I completely understand why this feels like we're dropped in on this situation. And you're just sort of trying to like figure out what's going on because there's no narration. There's no talking heads. There's no commentary. It's just Britney's life as it is with a camera on. It's exactly like Grey Gardens. And you end up falling in love with this like world that you're in because it's so authentic and so real. Like if you really are like just hanging out with Britney Spears in the most authentic way I think that we've ever seen on camera.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting reading this article as well. Like, well, do you have anywhere to like link it, or I don't even know, it's Vanity Fair, I don't remember who wrote it, but so the article basically they talked to the director of it, and she says that they gave her like low six figures to like produce this thing. She could pick whoever was in it, and she had it like structured in her head, right? Like she had a plan for this. Even when you watch some of like the outtakes and the bonus material, like she has interviews with people. This was going to be a structured sort of product. Mm-hmm. That her team was kind of pushing at the beginning. They didn't tell Jive Music about it, but like they were pushing it. And then as she got into it and she was realizing she had like no one-on-one time with Spears, she was, you know, they were just trying to like capture everything. A lot of times they were just filming random hallways, and it ended up being this sort of like, isn't it weird that every single thing we look at that involves Britney Spears from the past is like somehow prophetic for the future? Like how crazy, God. Man, everything.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, truly it's like, every single moment of this feels like some sort of, and it's wild to listen to her talk about her future. Mm. I mean, this always makes me cry. Like when I watch this documentary, I always end up crying, especially now. It just makes me really sad because she's just so vulnerable and like sweet that it's like makes you almost kind of nervous. Mm-hmm. Because any person looking at this, I mean, this documentary is very, and like even in the Vanity Fair article, they describe it as like very melancholy. You know, Albert like film, like, you know, while they had downtime, he would go film all of this sort of like silent, dimly lit footage of just like the towns that they were in, or the hallways or the hotels. And it really highlights just like how isolated and lonely and kind of sad she is without knowing that she's sad, you know?
And this is like, so we're going to debate the Tokyo footage later. We're not sure where that fits in. But like, yeah, this is 3 days in Mexico. And so this was the end of the Dream Within a Dream tour. Mm-hmm. And by this point, she'd kind of been kicked in the teeth by like everybody. Like she was ready. And she talks about this 6 month break that she's going to be going on right after this tour throughout the entire documentary. She is so excited about a 6 month break, taking a break. And I think she even thinks like, in her mind, it's almost like she thinks she's going to be able to escape fame for a little bit and go and be normal. And she just doesn't even know she's not going to be able to. Like,
yeah,
by this time, you can even see it. Like, she's upbeat and she's that Britney who smiles and like makes you feel warm inside. But she, there's a sadness. She's ready to go home. She's ready to go home to her mom, who she loves so much. Like, she loved her mom and her sister so much. And like, mom makes her cry in this, and it just makes me feel so bad. And I don't want to like make this whole thing like the tragedy of Britney
Spears. No, I know, because there's some great stuff here.
There is like fantastic stuff,
some really happy fan stuff, like stuff that's just like, you know, ridiculous. But yeah, so like Zach said, this is this whole documentary revolves around Britney's Dream Within a Dream tour. And you know, at this particular moment in her career, she literally couldn't be more famous. She is the most famous person in the entire globe. You have to think, like, if you put yourself in the perspective of like what was going on in the world during this time, this is Crossroads Britney, this is Pepsi Britney, this is Justin and Britney at the VMAs Britney, this is Snake VMA performance Britney. Like, this is Britney incorporated as like a really well-oiled machine making just billions of dollars, and she's untouchable at this moment.
Absolutely. And like, even like, I think they entered with like the perfect scene for this documentary of the press conference, because I was looking at the whole background and it's just Pepsi, Crossroads, Britney, the album. Like, they were fucking pushing this girl at the end of a tour when they know they're about to go on break. They're still like, you know, she, and it's hard to explain to people who like didn't really grow up with it, or like, you know, this like new generation and all that. Like, there will never be another person as famous as Britney Spears was at that time. Like, that was like really the end of it. Cause you had, you know, Michael Jackson was huge at one point. Britney Spears was huge at one point, but it will never be the same. She was famous at a really crucial turning point with like any sort of social media or like internet and blogs and all of that. And that will just, there will never be a person as famous as that ever again.
No. Yeah. You can't be that kind of famous anymore. Like, fame is so different now. Mm-hmm. And even right now, the most famous people in the world aren't even a quarter of, you know, they're not talked about nearly as much as she was.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just like, truly world dominating, where it's like, you know, I've talked about like the trickle down effect of not even just her herself being out there, but like the effects of her, the fact that the music industry was like all these clones of her, and everybody dressed like her, and everybody's music had a tinge of her in it. Like, she was, her imprint was just fucking everywhere.
And even if they didn't, even if they were not like, you know, one of the Britney Spears clones, they still, their career kind of hinged on some sort of Britney commentary where you were the anti-Britney, or like, she was freaking everywhere.
You could have a whole career being like, I'm not Britney, and then people would be like, yes,
damn, like, I mean, Pink put her in a damn song. Like, oh my god, anytime I hear that line in the Pink song, that's the line I sing the loudest.
And it used to piss me off so much when I was in like middle school, because I didn't know how to interpret it. I was like, she's being a fucking bitch.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Yeah, so you mentioned the the opening scene. And I do love that scene of the movie because we're dropped right into. So the really interesting thing about Stages versus, I think, every other Britney documentary is that they follow her in this way where you get to watch her become Britney. Mm-hmm. And be Britney Spears on stage answering questions and doing all the things. And then you get to see her off stage immediately after, like coming down from being Britney and just being normal. So you really get to see those two people.
And how wild, right? Like they didn't even get an interview. I mean, they got an interview after all of this, but they couldn't put it in the documentary because they were trying to get the documentary out before Christmas, right? But during this, they didn't even have an interview. They just had access to these like candid moments where she is not Britney yet going into Britney, right? Mm-hmm. Because Britney is this whole other thing. She even talks about that now where like she goes on stage and she has to become Britney Spears, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just wild that they even got this sort of access. I don't know. And it's like at such a specific point that like, imagine the people who would have killed to be in the room with her at that point. Right. Oh and God. Doing this, the people who would like, they got paid low six figures to do a documentary on Britney Spears. And imagine all of the people who like would have taken like, I don't know, $10,000 to do this damn
thing. Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They just captured like these moments that like live in the front of my brain for the rest of my life. And at the very start of the movie, it opens with her doing this press conference for Pepsi. Well, it's a sort of Pepsi Crossroads sponsored, like Zach said, it's just very, I mean, it's SponCon. Like it's like just merchandise everywhere. Her face is everywhere. Her music's playing. You know, there's 90 million press people there.
I'm surprised they didn't have like one of them guns shooting out like Crossroads t-shirts. Like,
oh, for sure. No, like literally it was like mega church levels, like production. And, you know, she's being asked all these questions and, you know, you really get a sense of just how there's this feeling that surrounded her at this time of like, who can get Britney?
Yeah.
Like who can get her, who can make her cry, who can get her to break? Because the public had an idea that Britney was pretending to be this other person.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like the media wanted to punish her for doing it and get her to break on camera so we could see the real non-virgin Britney. And she's like, you know, talking to these press people and they're asking the most disrespectful questions. Yeah. And she never has anybody up there when she's doing these press conferences to say that's off limits. It's always her alone.
Mm-hmm. So one of my first pieces of Britney gossip that I ever heard of was like, I was like super obsessed with the breakup between her and Justin Timberlake. Right. Mm-hmm. Now that's like at the lowest of like my priorities when I'm looking anything Britney up.
Right. But
I was like, for a while, I was really obsessed with that a long time ago. And I remember reading something that said when Britney and Justin broke up, she became really angry. And I see that throughout this whole thing. Like she's happy and she's there and she's present and doing what she's got to do, but she's like fucking over it. She's tired. She's over this. She's tired of being Barbie. Like she's and doing press conferences like this. She's really just like, okay, well, counting the minutes. This is something I'm contractually obligated to do. They're putting me on stage, but I'm going to get over it. Like you just hurry up because, and like, imagine like these, no wonder she doesn't like to do interviews, right? It's because they ask her shit like this, and this is not any like the most explosive press conference she's ever had. It's probably totally one of the like tamest, most likely. But they're asking her, you know, stand up and turn around and like how much her house cost, and it's just, you don't do that.
Yeah. And she knows that she's being disrespected, but it's like, you know, she also at the same time has to still be Britney.
Mm-hmm.
So she can be a little snappy back, but like not too snappy because God forbid, you know, it would just escalate the situation and make it worse. Yeah. So she's like, you know, politely trying to answer these inappropriate fucking questions. Like you said, the guy tells her to stand up and turn around. He's like, let's see the back of your outfit. It's like,
you can see when I leave.
You can see
it. Oh, I loved it. I love when they're talking about that in the dressing room later too. They're all laughing about it.
And they're like,
she gets these little moments where she's able to like do that. And you know, the manager's probably in the back thinking, Britney, I can't believe you're so crazy, Britney. And it's just, so there was a lot of control over, we already know that there was a lot of control over at this time, but like, So in this article that we've been talking about, I would highly recommend reading this article before you watch this as well. If you have not seen this documentary, it puts it in a whole new light. They said, so the director of the documentary basically had to like appeal to the record label, like right before they started shooting. And so they said the record label eventually agreed to the documentary, but with several concessions. We couldn't show her smoking or drinking. I have to get the Marlboros off the table. And it wasn't the only brand that they had to block off from frame. Any beverages, including water bottles that were considered competitors of Pepsi, for whom Spears was a spokesperson at the time, had to be removed, along with the non-Pepsi vending machines in the hotel. Like, what? Where she was staying, even Spears' cell phone had to be erased from scenes because it contradicted one of her sponsorship deals. Like, she, the amount of, like, just everything on her shoulders right now, right, is like she is, I'm surprised they didn't tattoo all of these damn brands all over her. All over her body, because she was the Barbie doll for all of these different things and making all of this money for so many different people. And you see it here, you know?
Yeah. Judy Hoffman says that, you know, they very quickly realized when they got there that she's basically owned, you know, that she's a person who's owned by her label. And she has she's no control over her life at all. I mean, this movie truly consists of her being like shuttled around, taken from room to room, sat down in interviews, not really knowing what the hell's going on ever, but just being pleasant and respectful and polite and kind and just doing anything they tell her to do, never saying no, never needing to like compromise, just always doing it. Like the whole movie, she's just going and going and going and going. It's fucking nuts.
Yeah, and I notice how like low energy she has for all of this now, because you keep in mind, like she says later in the documentary that she's been working since she was like 8, but she's been really recording since she was like, you know, for the past 4 years. So four years of this, back to back to back to back to back, everything, engagement, sponsorship brands, you get a moment off, you got to go, I don't know, do an interview or a photo shoot or a radio interview, like all of this stuff, she never had any sort of moment. And I would have found really crazy, especially during this press conference, is that somebody asked her, a 20-year-old, they were treating her like she had a 20-year career already. Like, what do you want to do that you haven't done yet?
Yeah.
Like how wild to ask somebody, like is anybody who's a famous 20-year-old right now? Do we know?
God, I'm the worst person to ask. If they weren't famous 20 years ago. Yeah. I have no idea.
But like, I agree with you. But like, nobody's asking these young 20, 21 year olds, like, you know, what they haven't done that they would like to do next, right? It's like, because obviously they have so much to do still. And you think about the career she had at just 20 years old. Wild. Insane.
Insane. She was just 19.
Mm-hmm. Was she 19 in this?
Well, she was 19, what, a year prior. And they're like,
okay,
what do you want to accomplish that you haven't? It's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Like, she just got done being a teenager.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
She's like, I think I'm done now. I'm going to, you know.
Yeah. She's like, I'd like to be able to walk into a store. Would be cool. shopping by myself would be cool.
Oh my God. They just treat her like she's on the brink of retirement. And you know what was funny about that Ronan Farrow interview, or that his whole like article too, is that they touched on this as well, as like, they had her working so much, and so they could squeeze every last bit of like glitter out of her, right? Every last bit of like every penny, everything, because they didn't think she was even going to go this long. Like, those people did not see a 40-year-old Britney Spears still Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Like, imagine that.
Yeah. There's an interesting element to her career that's always felt like just throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what works.
Yeah.
And it just kept working for so long. Mm-hmm. And you can tell there's just so much mismanagement, like you said, because you can tell that none of them had any idea that this would be long term. Yeah. They were just sort of trying, like you said, trying to squeeze out as much as they could. I wrote down another interesting quote from that interview, or the Vanity Fair article.
Okay.
That says, by the time the filmmaker was finally granted access, she realized Spears' schedule was packed with media engagements that left little time for a one-on-one interview. But it wasn't just scheduling that prevented her from firing questions at the subject. After witnessing the intense pressure Spears had to navigate on a daily basis, from cringeworthy press conferences and screaming fans to paparazzi, so aggressive that, according to Forney, she employed a body double to mislead them whenever she left the hotel, Hoffman began to question her own complicity in the media machine. Spears was an easy target for a lot of people, Hoffman says, because they saw her as white trash, working class, Southern. And she said, and the way I looked at her, or the way that I looked at her, it was the way she, well, sorry, it was.
I got tripped up on the same one. I was trying to read a little bit.
Like, wow. And the way that I looked at her, it was that she was made into a commodity fetish.
Yes.
I love that. And she said, you just felt her loneliness and sadness, and it was hard to talk to her, Hoffman said. I just wanted to leave her alone. I felt so sad. I didn't want to be another press person torturing her. I didn't want to be like the people I saw that she had encountered all the time. And that made me really sad.
I feel that too. I feel it, you know, because when you watch it, there's this sense of the director almost wanting to keep a distance from her.
Yes.
So as not to be like, because you imagine, again, she's at the end of this tour. She's at the end of this long four-year run, sprint.
Yeah.
She's finally going to get a break. She doesn't want a camera in her face. She doesn't want all of this. I wonder if they were kind of like, her team was kind of pushing this to her as like, this could be your truth or dare. This could be your Madonna documentary, right? Like, what were they telling her? Because they weren't getting any of that. She was very like, couldn't care less about the documentary being made in front of her.
Yeah. Which made it great. Like, it's like that ended up being the thing that made it so good, because she didn't care that it was happening.
Yeah.
Like, she just was existing. And this is, I mean, I've said it for years, this is Britney's truth or dare. Like, this is so incredible, and it makes me so sad that more people don't know about it. I know that post Free Britney, more people are talking about it. It gets more traction on YouTube. I think they're doing like screenings of it, which is cool. But another thing that I thought was really interesting was like, okay, so this, one of the things that I've always found really interesting about her career and about her as like a young person in this like weird scenario is that the most normal thing about her life, according to her, is always her relationship with like her team and her dancers. Like, she, whenever, you know, she's on like Regis and Kelly or whatever, and they would ask her like, do you ever get to be normal? Do you ever get to do normal things that a 19-year-old would want to do? And she always says like, oh, I get to be with my dancers. We get to take time off. And like, when we're not doing a show, we get to like shop and stuff. And you really get a sense of that in this, like her world is her team. Like, these people are her entire existence. They're her only, they're like the closest she's ever had to like comrades, like school friends, or like, you know what I mean?
And when you don't really get personal time, you can't make other relationships, right? Like, she is not somebody who's ever gotten to like go out and make her own friends, or like, she's always been introduced by somebody, or like, you know, these people are on my team, so I'm like friends with them. And, you know, I mean, and it makes sense, because on the road, right, your dancers are going to be your friends. And like, they seemed like really fun girls. Like, they seemed like they had a lot of fun. I do picture like, every time her and her dancers are together, I'm like, every night they went out together, it was probably the Overprotected video where they're like sneaking out from the bodyguard. Like, that's what I pictured, because it's the same girls. Like,
yeah, totally.
I like Britney and her little girl squad. I'm all about it. I love it.
And all her little gays, all the little dancers revolved
around her. There was a little Mexican gay hanging around her for this.
I know.
He's like, just say hola.
Yeah, say hola. He kept saying that.
But yeah, you're right. Like, she, this isolation that she's in, just because she's surrounded by a bunch of people, like this, she's still isolated because there is no world outside of her own world. And imagine what that does to your headspace too. Like, it literally puts you at the center of the universe. And it's insane that we didn't get more diva behavior from her, right? That she wasn't like, that all she wanted was a damn Pop-Tart, you know?
Oh my God. It's crazy. And you know, like, if I'm being completely honest with you, like, even I've watched this a million times, and I'm still always looking for little moments of like Britney being a diva pop star, because she has every right to be. She's every right to be. She's earned it at this point. It never happens. She's always as sweet as a girl that you would see at the fucking Cracker Barrel.
Right. And she probably loves a Cracker Barrel dinner. Can I get a 4-piece chicken strip dinner with two sides of macaroni, please, ma'am.
The way she ate that corn soup, I was like, Brittany, let's cry.
She's just like, there's something so down to earth and homey about her. And it's crazy that, because really, by this point in her life, she has been more under, I mean, she's been under the public eye more than she's, you know, than she ever was not. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what does that do to a person? Because she's not a normal person. Just like, right. Psychologically, she could never be in like you and I, right?
Yeah.
And I always think about that, but then like, we just don't see that, you know? Like, even when she was given that testimony back in June, you know, you hear her talking about and like kind of bragging on herself, which I thought was pretty fucking cool anyway. She's like, yeah. I wasn't good, I was great. But does that, she almost sounds like insecure saying it. Like she almost doesn't even believe it about herself. I don't know. It's just, yeah, I think she could be like a Mariah Carey. She could demand lounge couches to sit on for her interviews, you know?
Totally.
And she's just Britney Spears bopping around, you know. It's like there's a camera crew. Okay. Well,
yeah.
Like, you know.
Like popping gum, trying to make the camera the interviewer be comfortable because they're nervous. Like she's really that person.
Yeah. Like even when they go and do that photo shoot, right? In the hotel, they're like, just stand by the window. We don't have to get you there. And she's like, no, I'll go. You'll me dangle a little bit.
Yeah. She's like, throw a cord out there and I'll hang from it. That scene, the photo shoot scene is, dude, what's your favorite scene of this documentary?
Oh my gosh. That's a lot. I love anytime Fee's on camera with her.
Yeah.
So I love when she's like walking into the room and she's like, extra sweet because I stirred my finger. Meanwhile, a minute later, I see her stirring that damn tea with a spoon. Sophie, right. what are you doing here?
We'll have to talk later, Fee.
Favorite scene, though, I think would be probably the first day, just the entire time she's in her dressing room, kind of hanging out there, right? Because it's the most you get of her just like, they're there so long.
Right.
She can't just keep a mask on, right? She's just herself. And I like seeing that. What about you?
My favorite scene, I think, is when she's getting her hair done by Manuela.
Manuela.
And they're talking about being in love. And
oh yes.
Manuela's in love, and Brittany's like, I want to be in love. And then she turns on Feelin' Love by Paula Cole, her favorite song. And she just like, it's just so cool. Like, it's just so.
Doesn't it feel cool too? Like, I don't wear makeup, but it makes me want to go and sit in front of my mirror and like do my mascara and just kind of sway my hips a little bit.
Right.
Totally. And like sing like a little bit breathy. Like,
yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. I love when she like starts singing while she's getting her hair curled. Like that scene to me is just like, it's like, wow, that's what it would be like to hang out with Britney. Like that in a nutshell is like being in Britney's world.
Absolutely. And you think about more like, you know, when they were in the thick of the tour, right? Or when they were maybe at the start of the tour, how much more energy she probably had and was probably joking around a little bit more. And like, they were probably like bouncing off the walls.
Yeah.
To have a camera in the room at that moment, that's what I want to see. I want to see Britney, like, I just want to be best friends with Britney Spears.
I know. That's all this documentary does is make me just want to be her friend.
I feel like we have, like, kind of an advantage because we're a couple gays, you know?
Yeah.
Like, a straight's never going to be friends with Britney Spears. But hey, we have the potential one day.
For sure, absolutely.
If I ever need some gumbo. I feel like she'll give me the gumbo.
And now we know that when she meets men, she's like, are you gay?
Yeah.
No? Huh. Okay.
Are you gay? Would you like to listen to Blackout?
Yeah. You want some tea, some sweet tea or something? And then I feel like we should mention that. So this whole tour, we said that it revolves around the documentary revolves around the tour. Mm-hmm. But at this particular moment, she was facing a lot of really negative press in Mexico. And she had this really ridiculous thing happen where her car was being shook by paparazzi. And, you know, I had just read in that Vanity Fair thing about how they were hiring a body double for her to leave. And one random night they like were shaking her car and she gave a middle finger to the paparazzi and the press in Mexico tried to make it seem like she was giving the middle finger to all of Mexico. Like, why?
So it was that, and then the press conference, they said she was being rude at the press conference. And that was the same week, correct? Like, that was that was within days of each other. So they were really like, use your fucking brains. Everybody knew that, like, she wasn't giving the middle finger to her fans and to Mexico. Right. Like, it was not a little 8-year-old girl shaking her car. Like,
right. And it just, like, makes you, like,
think about it, people.
Totally. It's like so illogical to think that she would do that. Why? And also, it's just like, wow, you guys really used to get, like, super, super excited when you felt like you had something tangible to beat her up for. Because usually everything they beat her up for was stuff that they knew they really technically shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. It's like her sexuality, her body, whatever. But it's like, oh, you did something, you flicked off every child in Mexico. Why would she do that?
Exactly. It was just this, like, constant smear campaign that she just, like, I don't understand how it was justified that she brought it on to herself. Like, you look at, like, so after this documentary was over, like, my up next was, like, Britney Off the Rails. I know you've seen that one sitting on YouTube. And they always talk about, like, they're always in there talking about, like, interviewing paparazzi and stuff like that. And they're always like, she does it to herself. You know, she loves this. She loves this attention. You know, she wants us to do this. She wants us to say these things about her. It's like, come the fuck on, really?
I know.
And it's just the public, like, justifying this abuse of this woman for living, for living. All she owed anybody, all she owed you, me, anybody was, I mean, nothing, obviously, but, like, a cool song and a cool music video. Like, she didn't have to give us anything else. Mm-hmm. She didn't owe anybody anything, but, like, the entitlement of the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally. That's the best way to put it. And it's like, if there's anybody who loved it, it was, like, her team.
Mm-hmm.
It was the people who put her in this situation where she felt, they felt like that, where she was made to feel like she needed to answer to everything. Like, her existence was this controversial thing, you know what I mean, her body, her voice, everything was this major controversy, when, like you said, she's just sort of, like, living.
Do you know what one of my what makes my blood boil more than anything in interviews, and I guess there's other things, like, worse things to ask, but when every interviewer asks her, like, do you like your voice? Like, really? You know that's probably an insecurity of her. Why are you asking her things like that? Would you like to sing like Christina?
I know.
Are you fucking
kidding? I know. Like, and if you say no, you're a bitch. And if you say yes, then you, like,
and it's like, you're okay, admitting. Well, let me talk about my insecurities really quick. Obviously, I would like to have a Britney, you know, a voice like whoever and whoever, but it's just.
And, like, ask Madonna that. I fucking dare you. You know what I mean?
My material girl.
Like, ask Madonna that in, like, 1996.
And, you know what was interesting about Madonna is, like, Madonna was famous, like, at a later, she was, like, closer to her 30s, right, when she, like, got really big.
Yeah.
So she had more time to kind of, like, her brain was, you know, better developed. And, like, Britney Spears was a young girl who was still trying to figure her own shit out. Meanwhile, she's like, I don't know, how do you figure yourself out while trying to ignore what everybody's telling you should be doing and should not be doing? It's almost like she's overprotected. I don't know.
Yeah, there must be another way. But yeah, so she like has this controversy where she like flips off the cameras or whatever. And then this whole tour leads up to this moment. They're all the whole time talking about how excited they are that they have two shows left in Mexico. And it's raining.
Yeah.
And, you know, the big worry is, like, are they going to be able to pull off the show? And you really get to see this, like, behind the scenes. I mean, just in general, even if this wasn't Britney, like, it's just interesting to see how a big, giant, you know, multi-million dollar production handles something like this and, like, what it looks like backstage. It's very ghetto. Very ghetto.
So fascinating, though.
Right?
Yeah, it's the, like, whole thing.
It looks so, like, you know that this is, like, a giant production, like, sponsored by Pepsi. It's this big thing. But everything looks so shoddy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when they're putting the stage together, that looks shoddy too. It's like, I almost, and I know, I, I, I know in my head, in my 27-year-old brain, that like the stage is not made of marble, but I'm expecting them to put something else out there. And it's like this thin, like a top layer and these like metal poles underneath. And I'm like, that is not for Britney Spears.
Right.
That stage is going to break like it did under Selena in the Selena movie.
Totally. It's so sort of like, and it's crazy because when you see it in, you know, from a production aspect, like when you watch the Dream Within a Dream tour, yeah, like live from Las Vegas, like it's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's literally beautiful, but it's just, you know, it's just funny.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But so it's raining. And so Britney is like, and this is also incredible because this is like boss era Britney, right? Yeah. Like Britney is like fucking calling the shots. Like,
yeah,
she's telling everybody what to do. She's like, round up the troops. Let the dancers know I'm changing this. We're getting rid of that song. Let the fucking wardrobe people know. But yeah, they're like deciding what songs to remove. And it's funny because if you've seen Live from Las Vegas 80 billion times, like Zach and I have,
of course
you know what songs require.
I know, I'm almost know? I was almost, so I had a notebook taking my notes for this recording, but I found myself almost writing down like which songs are out on B stage.
Like, I did too.
Like, we're gonna cut this one, we're gonna cut Stronger, we go out there, we gotta cut Stronger.
I was like, well, you can't do Lonely because of that lift up with the dancers.
Rearranging it in my own fucking mind.
Yeah, but she's like, we can't do, but that's exactly what Britney was doing. She's like, we can't do Lonely. She's like, we can't do I Love Rock and Roll because I'm on a harness up in the air on a platform. Yeah. And before they had decided to like fully just cancel that show, I was like, wow, I would be so pissed if I found out that like 8 of the songs and like the biggest production numbers like got acts because it was raining. I would be so devastated,
so upset, because it was two nights, correct? It was two nights, and imagine like 50,000 people both nights, and you were you were the second group of 50,000 people. Like,
right,
all your shit cut. You went to this tour, right?
Yeah, I did. This is the first time I ever
wanna
saw her.
Okay, so I would like to hear just a little story time. I want to hear like where you were sitting and what the experience was seeing this show, because I feel like this is like a holy grail show.
Well, I actually, there's a really funny story about this show that I've never told on the podcast. And I thought about it the other day when you and I decided we were going to do this. So my mom and I went together, we had pretty decent seats. Like we were pretty close. And I know I'm going to tell you this because I know that you'll care. Britney's extensions were like really long. It wasn't like like shoulder knee. It was like back knee.
Yeah.
So she back knee. So her hair was like long as shit. And, you know, she fucking killed it the whole show. It was one of the shows where O-Town opened up for her.
Okay.
So I don't believe I got to see Jada. I think it was O-Town. That was this tour, right? Jada was
Onyx.
Oh yeah, Jada was Onyx. So yeah, it was O-Town. And so the show was fucking incredible. Spellbound, I cried, my mom cried, the whole gig. And then at the encore, a lot, like most of the state or the stadium thought it was over. So really? a lot of people left and they were all going to their cars because she says bye. And then, you know, she introduces the dancers and the band or whatever, and you know, everybody does that, and then they come back out. So we were gonna go because I was like, well, everybody's leaving, I guess it's over. And then we heard that like heartbeat before the waterfall for Baby One More Time.
Yeah.
And I like have never violently grabbed my mom the way that I did that night. I like choke slammed my mom back down to the ground. I was like, we're not fucking going anywhere, are you kidding? This isn't over. And because so many people went home, we got to like you know what I'm gonna say. We got to walk all
the way down. No.
all the way down to like the like really expensive tickets. Like,
I would have been shaking. I would have been like,
this was meant to be. I am where I should be.
Yes.
And my mom was like losing her shit, obviously, because of like the free good tickets, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, and we watched the last part of it like right up against the B stage.
Ah, that's so great. And you know, it's like at that time where like, because I didn't start going to concerts until later. One of my saddest moments is I've never been to a Britney Spears concert. We were always too poor. So I never got to go to one. When I started going to concerts, you know, I would watch them all on YouTube first. So I would know what the last song was going to be. Right. But like, you go and you're in there and you're like, I guess the shit's fucking done. Damn, Britney. this was 1 out of 5 stars.
Right. I'm like, God damn it.
You're like maybe inch away and you hear it, you know? And I just picture little Troy running up there.
I'm like holding my tour book and like a churro.
Was the tour book good? So what's in the tour book? Was it pictures of the actual show?
No, the tour book is actually it's incredible. It's okay. The concept of it is very similar to, I'm gonna send you the pictures of it. I'm gonna send you the photos because it's gonna be really hard to explain them. But the concept of it is very similar to that photo shoot that she did. It's like the black and white shoot where she's wearing like the slave bra with the arm piece and like the denim with the waist belt. Or with a belt, you know, like that big chunky white belt.
Yeah.
It's just all these like Mod Podgy, like artsy fartsy cool photos. Yeah. Like, it's really good.
I've thought about buying it on eBay. I want it if it has like pictures of the show. And if it doesn't, then I don't know why I'd get it. Because the circus tour has pictures of the show in it. But so this tour book, that's the one that they're all signing, right? Like yearbooks in this. I love that too, that they were all like signing yearbooks.
That was really cool. I was like, wait a minute. That's the tour book. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure that there are pictures. There has to be pictures of the tour in the book. I'm probably just not remembering them, but it's worth it. I promise you. What is it, like 200, I think, on eBay?
I don't even think that much. No, the circus one was, I got it for like 50, and I don't believe it would be more than like 100. I'm probably wrong, but whatever.
You should get it.
Don't tempt me, Troy. Don't tempt me. I just realized in 2020 I have my own adult money and I've just been spending it like crazy ever since.
You guys, literally, as I'm looking at Zach right now, like behind him is an array of beautiful Britney Spears dolls.
I am collecting them. Yes.
They're so good. You want to tell the people which ones you have?
They are, we're so off topic right now.
I know.
So there are people on the Instagrams that do like custom stuff. So like I have custom dolls and then custom outfits. And they're not accessorized yet. I have to put those up and finish the hair. But I have one of Slave for You VMA. I have the opening of this tour, the Dream Within a Dream tour.
So good.
a headless 2003 VMA.
Oh my god.
I'm just gonna put them over here, and then there's a circus back there. I'll leave her over there. I've shown you that one before, but and I have a few more in the mail, so I have 2001 or 2000 VMA coming at some point. But where were we?
This is what we knew was going to happen. Like,
it's just like when I was growing up, I had like one Britney doll, but I was obsessed with them and I wanted all of them, but I wasn't really allowed to have dolls. So again, in 2020, I realized.
Do whatever I want.
I have a job. I make money.
Yeah.
I think I want that.
Yeah.
And so like, I just started buying all the stuff I want and they're Britney dolls. That's all I want. That's all I want in life.
Like now that I have money.
I know.
But no, so all that to say that it is raining and Britney does decide, instead of just cutting the songs, like it's dangerous as fuck. And I can understand why the audience was upset, because you don't know like what's going on and you're just excited and you're at, you know, it's Britney Spears and you're at her tour and it's major. But it's like really, I mean, it's like, it looks like buckets of water are being poured on them. It's raining. Yeah. So they decide to go home. They decide to leave the tour early and she gets booed off stage. The crowd starts like chanting stuff at her. And I just think about like, how many of these moments, like, you know, because she's obviously somebody who just like brushes them off mm-hmm. and like looks for whatever is making her happy in that moment and doesn't focus on like all of this stuff. But like after years and years and years of brushing off how sad you are.
Yeah.
Like the long-term effects of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So me and my husband just went to Mexico mid August to like late August. Okay. That's where my husband is from. And so we went there and his aunt, I was so excited to talk to her because his aunt does pyro for big shows that come into Mexico City. So oh, cool. She did. And I asked her, I said, hey, did you happen to do pyro for, there was a show that I was trying to describe the end of this documentary. I'm like, so like in 2002, Britney Spears like came to Mexico for like 2 days and her eyes got so wide and she's like, I did it. And I was like, oh my gosh. So she did pyro for it. And apparently they were all like, all the people that they got from Mexico to like help and do this stuff were all so pissed that they canceled the show. She was like, I didn't have enough insurance for like canceling that show. And it was a big deal. And she says that her team pulled her too fast. But then, I mean, she also never like met Britney or anything.
Right.
But then in this documentary, she's like, Britney's like calling the shots, right? We see her like making decisions. So I wonder, I mean, I guess the truth more lies with Britney. Like Britney was calling shots and stuff, but it was like unsafe. It wasn't safe to be there and do that.
Yeah. And she seemed tortured by it.
Yeah. And I do believe that like, because she's probably, we already know she had a lot of anxiety, right? At this point.
Right.
She was like being treated for anxiety and all of that. She probably had anxiety. She knew she was going to get bad press from this. She also really wanted to go home. She's been saying it all day. I can't wait to come home, mama. Can't wait to come home.
Yeah. See you in Jamie Lynn.
She's fucking Jamie Lynn's like, lock the door, mama.
I know, seriously. Get her credit cards.
But she was just, she probably knew the shitstorm it was gonna cause.
Yeah.
And like they'd already been talking about, like, you know, this week in Mexico that she had, you know, she was apparently bad apple in Mexico, and then she, you know, at the Crossroads premiere, you know, there was a lot of controversy at that. And so she's fucking tired of it. But what else were they going to do? Were they going to put up money to do another show the next day? Probably not.
Right. So
everybody, like, I do believe what I've read is that they refunded the people who had tickets for that show. So I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry about it, but it wasn't safe. And like,
it was thundering and like, yeah. She was going to be on a metal platform that goes up in the air and mm-hmm. dangling from like metal poles. Like, it was literally so dangerous. It was so clearly not safe. And that show is like all, you know, it's like all theatrics. Like,
yeah,
it's people doing double spins on a heel toe. You know what I mean? Or whatever.
Yeah. And oh my God, and the dancing in this, like the dancing at this time. How insane. Can we talk about the dancing?
Can we talk about it?
Let's do that. Let's do that.
Okay. The dancing, I'm going to say something that is controversial.
Okay.
I believe that Britney never danced better than she did in this particular stage of her career.
Yes.
Do you agree with that?
And I think she was working with all the right people. She like developed a, and she didn't develop like an original style, right? Like there was a lot of Janet influence in this, mm-hmm. but this was like, she like found Britney Spears, the performer. Yes. Like this was Britney Spears, the performer. And I know they're like, people fucking hate Wade Robson, but her and Wade Robson working together, there was a lot of magic that came out of that.
It was,
he did this tour. He did this tour and he did a good job. And he's a shit person. We could say that, but he did a good job on this tour.
They had the exact same sensibility, the same mm-hmm. taste. They like interpreted music the same. Like they really were like spiritually connected in that way. And I agree with you. I think that Britney did, there are certain things that Britney does when she's dancing, especially during this time, mm-hmm. that are so Britney. They're so, and even though you can tell that there is like a really like intense Janet influence, and you look at her and you're like, wow, this is a girl who like practiced dancing to Janet Jackson, and like that's how she learned. Yeah. But there's just something about the way Britney moves her body mm-hmm. and the way she walks, like the way it's, there's just certain things that it's like, they're just so Britney.
Let me just stop you on the walk for a second. Right. We saw that develop. Her slow walk, dragging the tip of her toe,
landing
on the foot. Like, do you ever catch yourself, if I'm alone, or you know what, with my... some Britney on, I might just walk a little something, when I'm on my way to my couch, or like the way she would kind of do her hands, just the...
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I loved when she would point at her head and just...
Oh.
Like, all of it.
Oh, it's, my God.
And there's so good.
The slow one that goes out into the crowd like that is always really good, too.
Yes. And she had these little Britney things that she just developed. And this was not even like her copying anybody. This was her sort of stage performance. This was... however she, I feel like, because there's a lot that like went into making Britney Spears ride. She didn't do all that herself. We can be honest about that. There was a lot of hands making Britney Spears, like the way she says her L's, like somebody told her to do that. She wasn't doing that. But then there's these things like the way she's kind of moving and some of the little things she does that are just her, and that just came out of her.
Yeah. There's, oh God, I have goosebumps when you mentioned that, like the walk. And the funny thing about the walk is that there's so many versions of it.
Know what I mean? Yeah, there's just gotta go a little faster. You know, taking her time. She knows she's got like a couple beats to get over.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's the skip walk, which is very iconic. And then there's the straight up like that, like, you know, 2000 like VMA era like gallop.
Yes. Okay. And so also. I understand like this type of dancing. She was never going to be able to do it more than a couple more years after this. Like I remember I listened to like, I don't remember what podcast this was, but like Lance Bass went on a podcast and he was talking about how they would all do that sort of dancing at that time. And the toll it took on their bodies. Cause that's like, you're an athlete. You're having to do that. And when you're doing that every single night, she did how many? I wrote it down. She did 69 of these shows, 69 times dancing like this, start to finish. Like that's a lot on your body.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And so it's no wonder she doesn't want to dance like that anymore. You know, her knees probably click when she goes down a little bit. Like,
yeah, totally.
You think about it. And so, but the only note I would ever give her, if I was choreographing anything,
okay,
to bring the walk back, because she does this fast little shuffle now where she goes across the
stage. Yeah. It's like her Princess Peach walk.
It is. And she's always but I would bring the slow walk back. I think it's so good. And it just that is I would watch a 2-hour show of her just going back and forth on the stage, just like that, you know?
1,000%. And I just also want to be clear that, like, it's not to say that, in the following album cycle, her live performances of Toxic, her live performances of Me Against the Music, she's dancing. I mean, I would say, like, stylistically, this is my favorite era of Britney dancing and like not even always like super fast and intense.
Yeah.
But in the next album cycle during In the Zone, like she was like hardcore. Like it was like full like exertion, like basically working out. Like the Me Against the Music choreography is literally just hardcore cardio. It's like, it's crazy.
And you just can't, and I hate when, I don't like when people are like, oh, I want Britney to start. I hear a lot of people saying after this conservatorship's done and like she puts out new music and stuff like that, that she's going to go back to dancing like she used to. She's never going to do that again.
No.
She's never going to do this again. When I was in college, just side note, I was like trying to impress a boy. So I would work out constantly. I was always working out in college. And I will never work out like that again because it like exhausts you and you think about doing something like that again. And I didn't do it for very long. But like I got into like a summer of like working out like so intensely that it put me off of that kind of working out forever.
Yeah.
You think about her when she thinks about like dancing and like putting together a show, she probably gets into it at first, but then there's like something that like, I don't know, so some sort of subconscious reminder that like, oh, I don't want to do that kind of dancing anymore. I don't want to do that, you know?
Totally. Like, I agree with that. And I think, you know, everybody has theories about Britney's dance style and dance ability changing. And you and I have talked about it. I actually think that your theory is like to date the most accurate Zach, I like one day literally asked Zach for like a full essay through DMs. I was like, can you like, you can take this to the notes app and like really think about it and like write out your thoughts. But like, what's your opinion on Britney's dance?
I was having a manic night that night anyway. I was ready for the notes app.
I was very appreciative. And I was like, you're completely right. Like, I mean, I'll let you explain it, but I think.
Do you want me to? I can pull it up.
Really, yeah, quick. Can you read it?
I
don't even
know
it?
If I have it. Yeah. Talk about something while I look for it.
Well, I was gonna say that I think that she, you know, your like, Britney's passion at that time like was so much a part of the whole gig, and like her passion and like pure enjoyment for what she was doing, showed through. And like, you can't dance like that when you're under the restrictions that she hasn't been enjoying her life in so long. Like, you're not going to go out on stage and give dream within a dream energy when you can't even fucking swipe your credit card.
Exactly. We have that performance documented live from Las Vegas. We have like plenty of clips on YouTube and stuff like that. You have to just be okay with that. We cannot demand 19-year-old Britney dancing from this 40-year-old woman who's trained like an athlete her whole life. We can't expect that anymore, and it's not fair to even put that out there and like in her comments and stuff like that. That's not okay,
right?
I don't think, and I think a lot of people do that. So like, beginning this sort of thing, you said, I don't remember what you said, you said something about like her team squeezing the last bit of like fairy dust out of her during circus, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my response was, my notes app, it's not too long either. I think they definitely squeezed the last bit out during circus, but I think they're not entirely to blame. I think she was very done and over being that kind of pop star, which is very evident during the blackout era. So the original doll era would have been the last era we'd seen any resemblance to the Britney dancing we knew and loved. Like, and Do Something, she was clearly into it, but the dancing went from like precision and excellence for Dream Within a Dream and Onyx, you know, went from the precision and excellence of the previous eras to her just having a blast and still being great. Like, she was hitting it. She was like, every movement was just, there was so much attitude and fun and all of that. So by Blackout, she obviously knew how to be a shiny pop star, but that wasn't her anymore. She wanted to make cool shit and party. Like, that was her. That was her dancing how she would have at a club. She didn't even, you know, want to tour that album. So three, the circus tour was very paint by numbers, two-stepping. She showed precision, knew exactly what to do, and gave it the attitude needed, but clearly did not care much to be there. It looked like she learned a way to dance that wasn't so strenuous, and good for her. But she clearly wasn't thrilled to be doing that tour. That was a gimmick era she likely wouldn't have curated if she had had control. And since then, I feel like she's just done the, I know the steps, but I'm not going to give it much energy dancing until 2016. I'm sorry, guys. 2016, no. When it seemed like she was kind of getting into dancing a little bit again. Like, she messed up a lot and she looked nervous, but she looked excited to be doing it. Like, I love watching her American Music Awards performance. I feel like she had such a great time putting that together.
Yeah.
And that's clearly because she was excited about the Glory Project, right? Like, she was excited about that album. Like, Britney Jean, she didn't give a fuck about Britney Jean.
No,
she said the same thing in every interview. It's the most personal album I've ever done. You know, it's a term of endearment, Britney Jean. My mom says it.
When I get in trouble.
But she didn't fucking care about that era. And then she was over it, and they put her back on the road after Piece of Me. So that's my whole, like, Britney dancing spiel. I think by the time circus came around, we got exactly what we kind of see now, is her not moving her legs a whole lot and doing a lot more sort of arm dancing.
And circus is like the perfect, like, you know, it's a real like book, like a bookmark of previous Britney and the Britney that is to come. It's like this perfect blend, because you get like these little tinges of old Britney, and depending on which circus show you watch, like she's like really fucking into it, especially if her hair is dark, because there's something about darkness that just hits different.
And how fucking cool is it, right? I love I think if I ever did see another Britney show, I'd hope her hair would be dark.
Yeah, because you'd be getting like the Maleficent version of Britney.
I love Britney. Oh my god, you're so right. Yes. And it's when she has that little, like, in the Copenhagen show or the Paris show, when she had the, like, little, I don't even know what they're called, finger waves or the waves.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
in her
yeah.
Hair.
Oh,
yeah. Dark, wavy hair.
Yes.
And I love seeing her in, like, the yellow tank top doing the Toy Soldier song.
Yes.
Like, how fucking cool. And you knew she was just fucking cool at that moment. She's just cool. And
whenever
she,
I think of that moment, I just think of, like, Mannequin.
Like mannequin's what I'm talking about. Yes.
Yeah. Right? Like where she's just like sunglasses on.
Yes.
You know, like,
Have you ever watched the behind the scenes like tour video they did of her costume or whatever, her costume room?
I don't remember.
And they like pulled down this like little shelf of like glasses and stuff. And they're like, Brittany's so creative. Whenever she wants to like put a pair of sunglasses on or a bow tie for tonight, she does it. And it was all her idea. Like they make her sound so corny. You know what Brittany is doing? Brittany's like, I have a 2-hour show to do. It's like getting on a treadmill. She puts her damn hair up. She puts it however she wants it. And she goes on the treadmill for 2 hours, you know?
For sure.
That is Britney Spears performing. And that's okay with me.
She's like popping gum while she's performing and like singing.
I know, and who gives a fuck if she's gonna lip sync? I don't fucking care.
Are you kidding?
I do.
Anybody that brings that up at this point, I'm like, girl,
that you're nitpicking.
Really
nitpicking.
Come
okay?
on.
I just hope
20
she'll,
years past that.
Yeah, I hope she'll spit on me. That's all I hope when I go to a Britney Spears show. It's like maybe a little sweat droplet.
Yeah, just a little like hair sweat fling on my face would just be I'm gonna revitalize me.
Yeah.
Well, we should end this by talking about, so earlier Zach mentioned that there's like, I personally, and if anybody watching this has the DVD of Stages, like the original, you know, feel free to let me know. But in the YouTube version of this documentary, there's like the credits roll after she decides that she's not going to go out on stage. And then it like comes back on. And I don't know if this is bonus footage or if this was a part of the original movie. I'm assuming it's not, but she's like in Japan and
all of a sudden the last 3 days in Mexico and now she's in Japan
and it's a whole different, I mean it's the same documentary but it's a whole different vibe, and it's really interesting to see how the Japanese press treat her compared to how she was treated in America. She was like on cloud nine in Japan.
And she also seemed like it was probably earlier in the tour. She probably had a little bit more energy for all of this. She wasn't as tired and ready to be over it. And then you pointed out to me, I didn't even notice this part, that she like totally admits to lip syncing. She's like, they're like, are your little bracelets going to be too jangly to sing not a girl? And she's like, no, it's full playback.
Full playback.
It's like, get it, Brandon. Somebody like tries to get in front of the camera. They're like,
yeah
how you doing?
He like ducks his head into the camera. He's like, they want to stop fucking filming. I don't think that you can use that footage.
I know. We also got to see Britney at a buffet.
I was monitoring her fucking plate. I was like, what is she eating?
What are you going to get, Britney?
What is she going to get? I saw Felicia be like, now that's the dressing for the salad. Now you put that dressing on the salad.
I love that.
Yeah, it was really cool. I liked the Tokyo stuff. I loved like her little Barbie press conference, and like Britney's just different in Japan.
I am obsessed with the Britney dolls, so I like wish that Barbie would have like done a Britney doll, because I feel like the face would have been a little bit better and all that. So it's weird that she was like partnering with Barbie, but she's like, I can't do anything with you because my own doll already,
because I'm constantly being endorsed by 90 fucking companies.
Imagine the amount of companies she probably didn't even know she was being endorsed by.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
like her not being able to use her flip phone on camera because she's like
there's a shot where she's on her fucking phone talking to her mama, and then she has a water bottle she's taking a sip out of, and it's all blurred out, and it's everything. Just like she's like surrounded by this blurred cloud.
It's like Black Mirror.
It's so weird. Can we just like, I don't want to like keep us going too long, but I do want to talk about her mom.
Yes, please.
Because I don't know, there was a lot of Britney and her mom stuff in here. She was like so excited to get back to her mom at the end of this. She was ready to like touch down in Kentwood and go to her mom's house, and they were gonna, you know, her mom's probably gonna cook something.
Yeah,
I don't know. And she gets that she's really excited to see her and Jamie Lynn. She gets the tacky ass ladder of success.
Britney Jane. There are four letters to success. First step, follow your dreams.
Well, easy. It's these are the steps to your sweet success.
I was like, what the hell? It was like the tackiest, most like pageant mom shit I have ever
and she
seen.
She didn't even take that shit with her. She just got the picture in it. Just took the picture to like her dressing room. But she was like, and it was like made of like jelly beans and shit.
It was made of jelly beans.
And it was it's totally like a Lynn gift. Like Lynn the pageant mom, Southern Mississippi. Of course. It is, or Louisiana. Yeah. You know Lynn. Like, do you know what mums are?
Yeah.
Yes, Lynn fucking made mums. You know she did that on the side for teenagers during prom season.
Brittany goes, I don't know what it is, but it's pretty.
She did, and it made her cry. And that, you know, that like, because when Brittany's face like breaks, it always like gives me chills. I don't like seeing it.
I know.
There's one interview during the Zone era where they talk to her about her mom again, and she like her face breaks again.
Yeah,
and it's just like, where were these people looking out for her? She loved them so much with all of her heart.
She loved her family so much, specifically Jamie Lynn and her mom. Like she just, yeah, like you're right. This is the era of like. If you were a Britney fan, and I've said this before, like you just sort of knew her orbit because it was always the same. Yeah. And I mean, you just knew like it was always her mom. It was always Jamie Lynn. It was always Felicia, Larry, Big Rob, Mo.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what this is. Like, that's what this documentary is. And, you know, it's so sad. It's heartbreaking to see how much she loves her family.
Yeah.
Like it's really gut-wrenching.
Like knowing now, especially. Like, because back then you weren't a fan of Lynn, right? I think I've heard you say that, right? You weren't the biggest.
Never liked Lynn.
Okay. I was a very big fan of Lynn, even up until recently. I was the type of person who Lynn just reminded me of people I know, right?
Totally.
Like, I always thought in my head, I was the optimist. I was like, she loves her daughter. She might just be in like a shitty spot too. Like Lynn is the person who does the right thing. It may not always be the right thing, but she thinks she's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And it just is a hard pill to swallow thinking that no, it wasn't really like that. It was, and I think a lot of Britney fans have come to that sort of reckoning with some people in her life. Because I was a Jamie Lynn fan for a long time too. And it's
I love Jamie Lynn.
These people are fucking shitty to her. They turned on a dime, you know. Mm-hmm. And I always thought of Lynn, like when I was a kid, I used to like wear cutoff shirts to like school. And I used to be like, well, just remember, if anybody says anything, Lynn always says that Britney's costumes are glamour. This is glamour.
Yeah.
I used to like think about Lynn, like almost like she's my own sort of, you know, surrogate mom. And it's just shitty how she, I mean, I guess she's kind of doing something right now, trying maybe, I don't know.
She just always I just never understood, like, as somebody who was so far removed from, like, my only connection to, like, a Southern stage mom was, like, on TV.
Yeah.
So I never felt, like, that connection to her because she felt so foreign to me. And I just never understood the logistics of it. I was always like, why is she, Britney's always alone.
Mm-hmm.
She's always just with Fee. And I'd be like, is Felicia like her real mom? Like, even when I was younger, I was like, is there something that we don't know? Because if there's something that we don't know, just be honest about it and nobody will be upset. But like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
absolutely.
We never used to see her dad ever.
He did not give a fuck about her unless she had Daytona tickets, you know, NASCAR. God. That's it. That's all she gave a fuck about. Or he gave a fuck about.
The rare times you would hear, Daddy. That was like really truly like every like few years you'd see her dad on something, but rarely. And I never understood the Lynn of it all. I never understood, like, it just always felt like she had nobody protecting her. She never had anybody.
She didn't,
you know.
And looking at that through an adult lens is like it's different because, you know, I knew those women. I knew the Lynns,
right?
And they can trick you with that sort of like, oh, it's just like the way she speaks and the way she like comes and like, I feel like she would come and touch me on my shoulder and like kind of rub my shoulder and comfort me.
Yeah, totally.
Meanwhile, she's talking shit behind my back, right?
Totally.
It's like, like,
yeah.
That's a harder pill to swallow. We're speaking of James Spears. We're gonna Troy and I go and raid his storage unit before he can sell any of Britney's props and stuff. You've already called the Dream Within a Dream Tour music box.
Yeah, I did. And
I'll be behind you with the key. I'll be like, I got the key because the show cannot go on.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say Felicia with that goddamn key was so cute. The show can't go on without the key.
I have a sign it.
Hey, boo.
Yeah. I fucking love it.
Well, do you have any, closing thoughts that anything you want to say about stages or
we didn't really open with the Netflix trailer.
We were gonna talk about that. Yeah, let's do it. What are your, are you excited, are you nervous, are you angry? The feelings are all over the place from people.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday, you and I. Mm-hmm. And I think I said I needed to like sit on it because I didn't really know how I felt, because I'm glad it's being done like by Britney Stan, right? Or right. That's at least what I've seen. But it just seems like, I think I'm still where I was, is that Britney has already expressed that she wants to tell her own story. Mm-hmm. And it seems like Netflix kind of rushed into it after the success of Framing Britney Spears, and just, it didn't matter who made it. And it was just, as long as they got a Britney Spears documentary, they could have held out. And they're a big enough platform that she probably would have worked with them or somebody like them. Like, just fucking hold on, give her a second to get out of this. Because I think within a couple of years after her conservatorship, we're going to get the full story. I don't want to shit on it. A lot of people put work into it, so good for that. I'm definitely going to watch it, of course.
Yeah, of course, for sure.
I want to see her tell her own story at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I just want to hear from Britney. And I know that a lot of people, and I told you this yesterday, like there are a lot of people saying like, she's being exploited. This is, this documentary is trying to exploit her. And I'm like, well, we're exploiting her right now.
We are.
Like, we are exploiting her every single day. We've been, exploiting her every day since she was fucking born. But really, in the past year, it's gotten like everybody's doing Britney content. There are podcasts and YouTube channels and I can't even imagine like the books being written that we don't know about. And
yeah,
there's just, everybody has their hands in this pot right now. And I'm not saying that it's good, but like, it's just happening. And I almost, in my mind, I was like, this is the Christina Aguilera of Britney documentaries, because it came out second. And because of that, it looks more shady than the original one.
I'm gonna give it the benefit of the doubt. Like, Sam Asghari already came out and said like kind of shit on it a little bit. You saw that, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm assuming their kind of attitudes about it sort of align. And I'm thinking she's not happy about it, which is totally understandable. I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna see kind of how they present things. It's like an hour and 30 minutes. We'll see what kind of information's in there. I feel icky about, I just need to see what the kind of like how they kind of present it, because they did say they're not going to use any 2007 footage, which is very good, because she's already expressed she doesn't want that. And then Fee's going to be in it.
Yeah, that was what made me really, I was like, okay, cool. Like, maybe they'll actually, this is my genuine hope, is that they will right some of the wrongs, I think, in the Hulu one, because I think that there were so many missed opportunities in the Hulu documentary. There was so much information left out. We didn't get anything about Lou Taylor. Like, it just felt very like VH1 driven to me.
Well, oh, absolutely. So for any like real Britney fan, they saw that as like a recap, kind of like at the beginning of like a new episode or something like that. It was almost like a recap of things we already knew about. There was nothing in that was like new to me. And so hopefully there's like some new stuff. I don't know, but I guess.
Yeah, because I think we deserve to have, I've been saying this for a long time, like, it was so effective, and thank God, like, oh my God, now everybody knows what's going on. But like, we deserve a deep cut. If we're going to do this, we should deserve to be able to talk about stuff that isn't like just so surface level. Like, just assume that people have done their research now and like know these people and, you know,
give us tour stories like that woman who came out and talked about like them basically putting Britney on stage after she like walked off and didn't want to perform. Give us shit like that.
That's the shit.
Give us that stuff. Or like the gays who got to listen to Blackout.
Yes.
Give us that. Did you catch at the very end of the trailer them showing her her for the record driving footage like she was in damn Fast and the Furious? They have the music going.
I know. I was like, that's so random that they have the bonus footage that didn't even make it into the documentary.
Yeah.
Well, Zach, this was like really, really fun. I could do this for 12 more hours.
But we won't
torture people.
Thank you so much for having me on this. This is like a dream come true. I really am such a fan of Dunzo. And I got to talk about Britney Spears for an hour and a half. Like, there's nothing better than that. My night has been made. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. This was super, super fun. And I want you to tell people again where they can find your podcast. Because if you enjoyed this, then and you like horror movies, and you're gonna love Zach's podcast next week.
I guess so. YouTube.com/AZB bonus features is where you can find the video of it. And if you want to go to listen to the podcast on Wednesday, it'll be on all podcasting platforms at SlayerFest98. That's basically it.
Cool. Well, thank you, Zach.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you guys for listening. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Dunzo. This podcast is a part of the Solid Listen Network. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. Also, be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/solidlisten for exclusive content. You can follow me on Twitter at Troy McGee, and you can follow the podcast on all forms of social media at Dunzo Pod. That's D-U-N-Z-O. Thank you to executive producer Molly McAleer and coordinating producer Nicole Matthew.